America is all about liberty under law, liberty under God. But we are dealing with today a great deal of propaganda aimed at undermining America and its founding principles. There was a Soviet leader who defected from Russia in the mid-1980s, Yuri Bezmenov, who described the extraordinary efforts of the KGB in order to brainwash millions of people to favor Marxism instead of liberty under God. And perhaps some of those efforts made their way over to the West, including here in the United States. Dr. Paul Kanger is a best-selling author, including many books on the failed Soviet Union. He's also a teacher of history and political science at Grove City College. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and we welcome back Dr. Paul Kanger. Paul, always a pleasure to talk with you.
Yeah, it's always good to be on your show, Jerry. Thanks.
You know, I realize, Paul, since so many people are historically illiterate today, maybe we should just begin with having you explain who were the Soviets and was it their goal to take over the United States, take over the whole world, including the United States?
Well, the goal was certainly global communism. And, you know, Karl Marx talks about that in the Communist Manifesto. In fact, the closing words in the Communist Manifesto, people remember the phrase, workers of the world unite, right? That's world. But they also say, we have a world to win. A world to win. And so the Soviets established, once they came into power in 1917, they established in the Soviet Union, the Bolsheviks, something called the Comintern, which was the Communist International. That was established in March 1919. And the goal of that, as Grigory Zinoviev, who was the first head of the Comintern, put it, it was worldwide global revolution. They said, well, you know, global revolution is the watchword of the day. So the Comintern was going to be established in Moscow as the Moscow headquarters to run this global communist movement. Every country would have just one communist country, one communist party. This was the plan. And each of those parties would answer to the Kremlin. And it was just 6 months after that, see, March 1919. It was in September 1919 in America, in Chicago, that the American Communist Party was formed. And the first document that they sent to Moscow was a telegram saying, we've done it. We, you know, workers of the world unite. We have a world to win. They talked about a Soviet American Republic. They wanted what they called a Soviet America. In fact, there's a book on that by William Z. Foster, one of the first heads of Communist Party USA, called Toward Soviet America. By the way, Jerry, people on this, listen to this show, will appreciate this. William Z. Foster, the head of Communist Party USA, was also a founding board member of the ACLU. If you can imagine that, right?
I can imagine.
But the goal was global communism. That had always been it, and America was absolutely one of the targets and part of that plan. Now, whether they could pull it off was another thing, but that was certainly what they at least intended to do. It's what they wanted to do.
Okay, and explain to us the phenomenon of brainwashing. It's my understanding, by the way, that as a term, brainwashing was coined sometime maybe even in the 1950s because of what was happening with the communists in North Korea, where some of our American soldiers who were prisoners of war there were brainwashed. I almost said literally, but that's not true. But they were brainwashed into, you know, denouncing their country and, you know, extolling communism and so forth. Tell us about brainwashing, and then we'll go into the 1980s and talk about Yuri Bezmenov and his type.
Well, the brainwashing got so bad that the Soviets would take dissidents, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who wrote the Gulag Archipelago, and in fact, a more recent case, Vladimir Bukovsky, who just died not that long ago, a year or two ago, and Bukovsky was put in a flat-out insane asylum. They didn't just put these guys in gulags, but they put him in insane asylums as if they were crazy, mentally imbalanced, mentally insane, because they were dissidents against the communist culture, as if there was something wrong with their brain, right? So they had to have their mind corrected. They had to go through brainwashing. And the Soviets had what they called a department of agitprops, agitation and propaganda. They had a department of disinformation. The Soviet word for that was desinformatsiya. There's a book on it called Disinformation by the late, great Ion Mihai Pacepa and Ron Richlack, two good friends of mine. I wrote the foreword for it. Came out about 10 years ago.
Well, explain what that is. Explain what
masters of this stuff.
Yeah, explain exactly what that means, disinformation. I mean, in the Soviet version.
So they would sit around in this actual department and cook up false information and spread it out into the world as lies. And in one case, sending to, I talk about this in my book, Dupes, the Soviet disinformation artists sent letters to the International Olympic Committee posing as American Klansmen, calling for a ban of all black athletes in the International Olympics. And when the American Klan was asked about this, they said, hey, look, we admit we're the Klan. We don't like black people, but we didn't send this. This isn't us. We don't know where this came from. It came from the Soviets. The Soviets cooked up stuff like crack in inner cities created by the American CIA. In fact, even recently, I wrote about this again in the last couple of weeks, the 60th anniversary of the death of JFK. Immediately after JFK was shot, the Kremlin is dishing out disinformation about how the assassination was done by right-wingers in the United States in Dallas, Texas, connected to the John Birch Society, when in fact the shooter was a communist, Lee Harvey Oswald, who had connections not only to the American Communist Party, but to the Cubans and to the Soviets, of all things. And then that disinformation was later picked up by filmmakers like Oliver Stone, Mark Lane, others in the United States. So there's a lot of information, quote unquote, that we've had in America that's become a part of history that's false information that was actually created originally as disinformation campaigns by the Soviets. To quote Ronald Reagan, they will do anything. They will lie. They will steal. They will cheat. And as Lenin said, the only morality that we recognize is that which furthers class interests. So they had no compunction about creating false information if it served their interests. No morality.
Wow, sounds like some politicians these days. Okay, the term brainwashing, do you know anything about the genesis of the term itself?
I don't. I can't say who coined
okay.
it. I'm not sure.
Oh, no problem.
But the Soviets excelled at it. I know that.
Okay, good. So let's go to the mid-1980s. There was this man that defected, and he said, Yuri Bezmenov, and he talked about how the KGB was active in order to, basically spread a lot of lies in the West and destabilize the West and especially America. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, and I've known about him for a long time before everybody else has. He's now in like a video game or something, I understand. And he's, but I talk about him at great length in my book, Dupes. And I even have, I quoted him talking about Ted Kennedy in Moscow being treated to a fake wedding that the Soviets put on in order to entertain, wine and dine, and get Kennedy hammered drunk. And Bezmenov actually in that interview that's famous that's out there on YouTube held up a picture of Ted Kennedy dancing with the bride at this Soviet wedding. And I walked through in Dupes. I even quote an article from the New York Times in the 1950s talking about how the Soviets staged fake weddings. I mean, this is how bad they were. And Bezmenov, who was a Soviet information officer for Novosti, the Soviet press agency, he said that his job was to take Western visitors, high-profile visitors and politicians, and ensure that they were intoxicated from the moment they got off the airplane till the moment they got back on the airplane. So that way they could manipulate them and also, too, try to get them in compromising positions where they could blackmail them. And I'm sure they probably had, I wouldn't be surprised if they had reels of videotape of the senator from Chappaquiddick, Ted Kennedy, probably doing all kinds of morally compromised things while he was out there partying it up in Moscow.
Wow. Well, that wasn't, I guess, hard to do. But let's talk about Bezmenov in terms of why did he defect? I mean, that's a big deal.
Yeah. He couldn't live with the lies. What Vaclav Havel, the former playwright turned president of Czechoslovakia, called the communist culture of the lie. And a lot of these guys, they just living in that system, they come to see how immoral, how wretched it is. And in fact, far more of them, Jerry, would have defected if they could have. And the reason that so many of them don't is because they feared for what would happen to their family back home in Moscow. That's why more of them didn't defect, but he did. He did.
And how did he do it? I mean, did he just come over for a Soviet-approved trip and then manage to just say, okay, I'm here and I'm going to claim asylum here?
Yeah, I can't remember when he did it and how he did it, although I did write about it in my book, Dupes. I'd have to go back and look at it.
I'll have to look at that myself.
Yeah.
All right, well, fast forward to today. Okay, so we're just talking about the mid-1980s. What about today? The Soviet Union is long gone, or so it would seem, of course. I mean, certainly as it was constituted, it imploded in the early 1990s. But we see in the West a lot of young people that are just totally fooled. I mean, you could see this even in the example just in the last couple of weeks of young people on TikTok discovering the letter of Osama bin Laden, why he's at war with America and Israel and so forth. And all these people in the West are saying, oh, yeah, you know, we should be on the side of Hamas and the Palestinians, not Israel. And, you know, people are being duped again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the time. In fact, look at what happened with the whole vaccine thing, forced vaccination. And in fact, a really great example of how these people can completely reverse reality. Some of the anti-vax doctors, Peter McCullough, who's the other one who actually invented the messenger RNA vaccine and then turned completely against it. With the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines. I can't remember his name right now.
I forgot myself.
And even RFK Jr., they all talked about how when they would speak out against the vaccination, Google or Facebook or Twitter or whoever would say they are engaging in misinformation or disinformation. And then they would just censor them and shut them down. And some of these guys like McCullough, like, oh, wait a second. I'm a doctor. I've written hundreds of refereed journal articles. I know what I'm talking. Who's accusing me of this? What anonymous 22-year-old twit working for Facebook has the authority, name isn't even out there, to tell me, an MD, that I'm engaging in disinformation? You, who are you? You're spreading disinformation. Yeah, this is going on in American society today on many different levels. And, I'm familiar with what you're talking about with the Osama Hamas thing. It's happened again with that, too.
We have about 20 seconds left. 20 seconds left. Go ahead.
Yeah. So this process of being duped, I mean, the Bible uses the word duped in some translations. This has gone on for a long time, unfortunately.
Okay, and what is the website for you?
Well, yeah, well, I write for the American Spectator. Check it out at spectator.org, and you can find my books at amazon.com if you'd like.
All right, Paul Kanger, thank you so much. All the best.
Yeah, anytime, Jerry. Thanks a lot.